Outside. Good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Chaf Gimel. We're going to start on the bottom of Chaf Beis Amud Beis. We left off yesterday. Levi Achvi Kido. So four lines up from the bottom, four words from the end of the lines. Remember, again, we're talking about the different types of prostrations that occur. So one of the things we spoke about was this concept of kida. So we call it kida, which was the Gemara pointed out before, that kida is alapayim. Kida represents a prostration, ultimately, again, on one's face. So the Gemara says, Levi ach v'kida kameid Rebbe v'itla. Rebbe demonstrated kida in front, Levi demonstrated kida in front of Rebbe. V'itla, itla literally means he became lame. Meaning, again, Rashi points out over here, Rashi says, ach v'kida, no it's gold love. He goes ahead and literally plants his thumbs, v'nishan aleihem, v'shocha ad shenoshek es haritzpa, v'zokech, So interestingly enough, so kida seems to be this process whereby one essentially prostrates oneself by bending at the ankles without going ahead and bending one's knees. So it puts incredible pressure on the legs and on the thighs. So Rebbe did this, and he must have dislocated or pulled something very significant, but that left him with permanent damage. So the Gemara says, "V'haka gamrele, is that what caused Levi to become lame, to become crippled?" V'amar Rebbe Elazar, the olam ayatiach adam dvarv klapi malo. Rebbe Elazar says a person should literally means do not fling your words heavenward, meaning that it is not good to go ahead and dab into HaKadosh Baruch Hu or to say things to God in an accusatory fashion. Sometimes one is upset about certain circumstances that occur, but one has to be careful with how one addresses HaKadosh Baruch Hu even in difficult times. Shahari Adam Gadol Etiach Dvarim Klapei Malo, because there was an individual who again spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an accusatory fashion. We actually saw this in Meseches Tanis. Rashi points out over here, the Meseches Tanis, Alisa Lamorum, Ve'in Atomashkiach Abanecha. Remember again, one of the episodes where there was no rainfall. So Levi says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what, God, you've left the earth, you've left the world, you've ascended to the heavens, and you no longer are involved with what happens, You're no longer involved with what happens here on the earth. So therefore, again, the Gemara feels that because Levi spoke in such a disrespectful fashion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why ultimately he became lame, to which the Gemara answers, and the Gemara says, Umaru Levi, v'havaha garmalei, to which the Gemara answers that Lamaisa, again, it was both things that ultimately went ahead and caused Levi to become lame. Both say, just our learning this morning is sponsored by Hananya Lasker, in memory of his father, Yosef Reuven ben Avraham Levi, Zichrono Livracha, whose yard site is observed today. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah.
Amen.
So the Gemara says the following: Amar Rav Chiya bar Abin Chazinu Luhu La'Abai V'Rava Dematzli Atzluye. So, both remember how we got started with this whole discussion was because of the brayse that we discussed. Yesterday, where Rav did Pishut Adayim V'Raglayim. So the Gemara answers, the Gemara says over here that Rabbi Chiya bar Avin said, I saw Abaye and Rava that they did not do Pishut Adayim V'Raglayim, but rather what did they do? Matzli Atzli. Rashi says, Al Tzidehen, when they did Tachnun, they just simply fell on their sides. V'lo Noflin Al Pnehen Mamish, and they would not literally fall on their faces, actually fall on their face, prostration. L'fi She'in Adam Chashav Rashi Li Pala Panam. So we'll say the point the Gemara ends off with is that it turns out that even Adam Chashav, even an important person, does not do Pishut Adayim V'Raglayim, does not do the full prostration, but rather, again, simply does a falling on the arm, just like everyone else. Fine, the Gemara goes weiter. B'yom Tov Chamisha, B'yom Kippurim Shisha. So remember, again, the Mishnah said that on Yom Tov we read 5 Aliyos, Yom Kippur we read 6 Aliyos, Shabbos we read 7 Aliyos. So Masnisin Mani, whose opinion is reflected in the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Lo Rabbi Shmuel, V'lo Rabbi Akiva. It's not Rabbi Shmuel, nor is it Rabbi Akiva. This Sanya, because we learned in a Braisa, but we're going to see these two opinions quoted right now. This Sanya, B'yom Tov Chamisha, B'yom Kippurim Shisha U'B'Shai B'Shiva. We learned in the Braisa that on Yom Tov you read 5 Aliyos, Yom Kippur 6 Aliyos, Shabbos 7 Aliyos. Ein Pocha Sin Mehem. You may not read less than these allotted amounts. Ve'in Mosif Nalein. Nor may you add on to them. Divrei Rabbi Shmo. These words of Rabbi Shmo. Rabbi Kiva says, B'yom Tov Chamisha, on Yom Tov you read 5, Yom Kippur Shiva, in Rabbi Akiva's model you read 7 on Yom Kippur, U'B'Shabbos Shisha. And on Shabbos, you go ahead and you read 6. You may not read less than these stated amounts. But you could add on to them. So the Gemara says, now, money. So whose opinion does our Mishnah, because remember, what did our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah said, Yom Tov 5, Yom Kippur 6, Shabbos 7. Ain't pochasin, you can't read less, but what? Mosifin, but you can add on. The Gemara says again, whose opinion does our Mishnah reflect? Rabbi Shmuel. If you're going to say a Mishnah like Rabbi Shmuel, that can't be why. Kasha Tosefes. Because although Rabbi Shmuel's allotment of Alios works, he says again, 5 for Yom Tov, 6 Yom Kippur, 7 for Shabbos, he holds that you can't add on. Where our Mishnah says that you can add on. So therefore, our Mishnah can't be Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva, and if you want to say the Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva, what's the problem? Kasha Shisha V'Shiva. Rabbi Akiva states the opposite. Our Mishnah says 6 for Yom Kippur, 7 by Shabbos. And Rabbi Akiva says what? 7 Yom Kippur, 6 for Shabbos. So whose opinion is our Mishnah reflect? Amar Rava, Rava said, Tana Debe Rabbi Shmali. Our Mishnah reflects the view of the Tana from the academy, from the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, because the Tana of the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel said the following, B'yom Tov Chamisha, Yom Tov you read 5, B'yom Kippurim Shisha, B'Shem V'Shiva, so Yom Tov you read 5 Aliyos, Yom Kippur 6 Aliyos, Shabbos 7 Aliyos, Ein Pochas in Mehen, you may not read less than this number of Aliyos, Avol Mosif Nalein, but you may add on to them, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. These are the words of Rabbi Shmuel. I will say now we have a problem. Why? Kashi, the Rabbi Shmuel, Remember, Rabbi Shmuel was just stated before, it was quoted in the Braisa saying what? Yes, the 5, 6, 7 model aligns up with our Mishnah, but according to the previous Rabbi Shmuel, you can't add on to these number of Aliyos. Now, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is saying 5, 6, 7 model, which works well, but you can add on. So what's going on? To which the Gemara answers, very simple answer, Trei Tanoi Alib Rabbi Shmuel. I will say there is a dispute as to what the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel says, and there are two different Tanoim, quoting two different opinions of Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, Man Tana Laha Disanya, who is the Tana who quoted the following idea? This is actually very interesting, and this actually serves as the model for how we set up our Kriya Sator on the various days. B'Yom Tov is very interesting. B'Yom Tov Me'acherin Lavo or Me'maharin Latzeis. On Yom Tov, we come a little bit later to shul, but we try to get out as quickly as possible. What does this mean? So one second. Don't get carried away over here, all right? So look at Rashi. B'yom tov ma'achar in lavo. Lebeis haknesses. We come a little bit later to shul. Why? Shetzarech litroach b'su'udas yom tov. And they have to understand something. You see, obviously, in the age of refrigeration, so we can prepare everything before Yom Tov. And in fact, it's halachically preferable, if possible, to not have to cook on Yom Tov if you don't have to, for the simple reason that it takes away from one Simchas Yom Tov if you have to be in the kitchen. So again, technically speaking, we can prepare everything before Yom Tov. Obviously, in the age of preparation, again, especially outside of Eretz, where they were already observing 2 days. So you can imagine, again, you really had to cook on Yom Tov itself. So therefore, the assumption is people are busy cooking already in the morning. So therefore, people come a little bit later to shul because they're preparing the Yom Tov Suda. We're eager to get out. Why? Because remember, on Yom Tov, there is a mitzvah of Simcha, which is physical celebration. Therefore, we want to be able to go ahead and celebrate on the day of Yom Tov itself. So we come a little bit later and we're eager to get out early in order to go in and celebrate Yom Tov. Fine. B'Yom Kippur, what about Yom Kippur? Me'maharin Lava, we get to shul early. We get to shul early. U'ma'acharin Latzeis, and we delay leaving. Because obviously, again, Yom Kippur, there's not much else to do. So again, Day of Slicha and Kapara, we get to shul early, we leave late. U'b'Shabbos, what happens on Shabbos? Me'maharin Lava, we get to shul early. Rashi says, B'Shabbos me'maharin Lava, Shekvar tiknu hakol me'erev Shabbos. So remember, on Shabbos, there's no preparations, right? You've done already for Shabbos whatever you need to do before Shabbos. Therefore, again, we want to get to shul early. And Rashi points out, in order to be able to say Kriya Shema Kivasikin, again, that was apparently the Talmudic practice that they would daven early on Shabbos. Umemarin Lotzeis. But we go ahead and we try to get out as quickly as possible. I shouldn't say it like that. But all it is that we try to expedite things to be able to get out earlier. Rashi says, Mishum Oneg Shabbos. But so we don't paskin that way. I'm just telling you, right? We don't paskin that way. That's an executive decision, right? We don't paskin that way. So again, so I'll say, just interestingly enough, you should understand what's fascinating about this obviously also plays into how you structure Kriyas HaTorah. So if you'll notice, again, for example, we'll see. So the Gemara says, Lema Rabbi Akiva. So the question now is, recording this brisa, we're trying to figure out whose opinion does this reflect. So the Gemara says, Lema Rabbi Akiva, de'is le gavri yisera. Now this would seem to be in line with Rabbi Akiva, because what does Rabbi Akiva hold? Rabbi Akiva holds that there are 7 aliyos on Yom Kippur and 6 on Shabbos. So this would make sense, because on Yom Kippur, what happens? We get to shul early, and we're in no rush, so we delay getting out as well. But on Shabbos, we get there early, but memaharim lotse. So that would seem to make sense according to Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, put the 7 aliyos on Yom Kippur, 6 aliyos on Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, no. Afilu tim Rabbi Yishmael. It could even be Rabbi Yishmael who holds that 6 aliyos on Yom Kippur and 7 aliyos on Shabbos. Why? Because it will say, even aside for Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur, Kriyas HaTorah is the least of it. The Nafish Sidura Diyoma. There is so much other stuff that is Nafish Sidura Diyoma. Literally means the order of the day itself is so plentiful. There's so much other davening on Yom Kippur that even if technically the Kriya of Yom Kippur is shorter than Shabbos, i.e., it's only 6 aliyos, the rest of what you have to do on the day by definition elongates the service. To which the Gemara asks, Hani Shlosha Chamisha Vishiva Keneged Mis. So I'll say, interestingly enough, now we have 3, 5, and 7. 3, 5, and 7 aliyos, right? 3 on a Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Mincha, 5 on Yom Tov, and ultimately 7 on Shabbos. Where do we get those numbers from? What does that correspond to? Now, we'll say, Tosfos points out that we don't bring up Rosh Chodesh over here, because the truth is, we already spoke about the idea yesterday that whatever the reason for the 3 is, the concept of the additional one for Rosh Chodesh is because of Karam Mosaf, and Yom Kippur we're going to deal with separately. We're going to deal with Yom Kippur, the 6 of Yom Kippur on a separate. So we're asking now, the 3, 5, and 7 aliyos of a Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Mincha, Yom Tov and Shabbos, what does that correspond to? It's actually very interesting. To which the Gemara says, "Pliyi bar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani v'chad di'imei." So Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani and someone else argued about this. Who is the someone else? Uman. Who is the other one who argued? Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. It was Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. V'amrile. Others say no. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi v'chad di'imei. It was Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi who argued with someone else. And who was the other person? Umanu. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani. V'amrile. Rabbi Shimon bar Nachmani. Others say no. It was Rabbi Shimon bar Nachmani who had the argument. V'chad. Excuse me. Rabbi Shimon bar Nachmani. Excuse me. Let me read that differently. V'amrile. It wasn't Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani. Brother. Okay, I will say, whoever it is, there are 2 people that are disagreeing about this, about the symbolism of the 3, 5, and 7. What's the symbolism? Chad Amar Kineged Birkas Kohanim. I will say, this is such a beautiful symbolism. So some say the 3, 5, 7 model comes from Birkas Kohanim. What does that mean? Yivarechacha Hashem v'yishmerecha is 3. Yo'er Hashem panav eilecha v'yichuneka is 5. Yisa Hashem panav eilecha the same lecha shalom is 7. Such a beautiful symbolism. So the 3, 5, 7 model of aliyos for Kriyas HaTorah comes from the structure of Birkas Kohanim. I will say, so what does one have to do with the other? So what one has to do with the other is that, remember, the whole point of having Kriyas HaTorah is what? Is to ultimately bring the Shechina within our midst, to create the connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the medium of Torah. Therefore, again, Birkas Kohanim is what? The whole point of Birkas Kohanim is also to create this connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the first opinion. The other opinion said, Keneged Shlosha Shomri Hasaf, the 3 corresponds ultimately to the three guards who would guard the king's threshold. Chamisha Meroa HaMelech, the 5 aliyos corresponds to the 5 who are able to see the king, the 5 ministers who are close to the king and able to see him at all times. And Shiva Ruah Pnei HaMelech. And ultimately, again, the 7 corresponds also to the 7 advisors who are closest to the king. So the Gemara says, Tani Rav Yosef, Gimul Chamisha V'Shiva. So now the Gemara quotes a Mishnah that supports this. Rav Yosef says, the 3, 5, and 7 aliyos, Shlosha Shomri Hasaf, Chamisha Meroa Pnei HaMelech, Shiva Ruah Pnei HaMelech. It refers to the 3 guards who guard the threshold. And apparently there were there are two different other levels of advisors. Five who were the viewers of the king, five who ultimately were able to go out and see the king, and another seven, ultimately, who roi p'nei ha-melech. Look at Rashi, just a moment, Rabosai. Chamish roi p'nei ha-melech, shiva roi p'nei ha-melech, shiva hem kidichsiv, shiva sarei paras umadai, umehem yesh chamisha chashubim, kidichsiv b'sof melachim, shlosha shomri ha-saf, b'sof sef melachim, connecting tiknu elu me'in divar malchus. Rabosai, again, what does this have to do with anything? So again, apparently we have three people who guard the threshold, five, seven who are roe pnei hamelech, who see the king, and apparently of those seven, five are considered to be even more important. So what does this have to do? Again, so the symbolism could be understood in two ways. Either that lemaisa, the concept of reading the Torah by definition, represents like the guarding of the king. We are safeguarding the Mesorah by reading the Torah. Or again, it's another idea also of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the notion ultimately, again, of reading Torah, by definition means we're able to stand at the threshold of the king, and to take it even a step further, we're able to be Roe Pnei HaMelech. We're able to actually see the countenance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the prism of Torah. Amar Le Abaye, as to listen to this. So Amar Le Abaye, Idna my taima lo parish lanmar. So we'll say this is such a fascinating exchange. So remember again, Rav Yosef is now saying this. So Rav Yosef says this, the symbolism of the 3, 5, and 7. Abaye says, why didn't you ever tell us this before? Right? Meaning, how long did you know about this? And you didn't share about this. So we'll say somebody's listening to this response. Amar lei. So this like such a Jewish exchange. Did I know that you needed to know this? Right? You know, did I know that I assumed that if I knew it, you knew it. Did I should have known that you didn't know this piece of information? Did you ever ask me and I didn't tell you? Right? If you need to know something, ask. I should read your mind. Right? I should be a Navi and know what you need to know. It's just so amazing. That's right. It's like Jewish mothers over here. I should know what you need to know. And you asked me, I told you. If you didn't ask me, I'm not going to tell you. So I'm going to Yaakov Mina Rav Yehuda. Yaakov Mina said to Rav Yehuda, Rabbi, there's a lot of interesting discussion about what this word Mina means. Because the etymology of Mina seems to be a min, which means a heretic, which of course can't mean what it is. So Tosas and others explain that it must be the name of his place where he came from. So Yaakov Mina said to Rav Yehuda, Hani Shishti Mekiparim Kanemi. So we just discussed the 3, 5, and the 7. What about the 6 of Yom Kippur? Who does that correspond to? It refers to the six people who stood. Actually, it corresponds to the six people who stood to the right of Ezra and to the left, Shenemar, because the pasuk is now over here. The Gemara quotes from the pasuk in Nehemiah. Va'yamot Ezra ha-sofer al migdal eitz. Ezra ha-sofer stood on the wooden platform, asher asu ladavar, that they made for that thing. Va'yamot Bosad is actually referring to when Ezra's announcing again about the coming back to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, Vayamot Etzlo, and who stood next to him? Matisya, Vishema, Va'aniya, Vuria, Vichilkia, Umaaseya, Al Yamino, Umismolo, Pidaya, Umishael, Umalkia, Vichusham, Vichash, Badana, Zecharia, Mushulam. So Mar says only one problem, which is the Gemara says, Hani Shiva Havu. That's not six people. That's not six people again on his left side, but rather again, that's seven people. To which the Gemara says, No. Hainu Zechariah, Hainu Meshulam. Zechariah and Meshulam are the same person. So the Gemara says, Hainu Amai Karle Meshulam. So if his name is Zechariah, why are they calling him Meshulam? This is such a beautiful idea. The Mishlam Bu'uvdei, because he was complete in his actions. So again, Meshulam was not his given name, but rather Meshulam was like a complementary name that was given to him. Zechariah Meshulam, because he was Shalom, was complete in all of his actions. Tanar Abaram. So again, Rabbi, we learn in Ebraisa. I call Odin Leminyan Shiva, Vafilu Katan, Vafilu Isha. Everyone could be counted for the seven Aliyos, even a child, even a woman. Aval Amru Chachamim Isha Lo Sikra B'Torah. But Chazal said that a woman should not read the Torah, should not get an Aliyah. Why? Mipnei Kavod Tzibor. Out of respect to the congregation. I will say, we will come back. This sugya, we'll discuss this in Yeretz Hashem in greater depth, because obviously, again, it's quite fascinating in and of itself that it appears that Mi'ikra Din, a woman could get one of the Aliyos, but he has something called Kavod Tzibor, so we don't give the woman an Aliyah. And I will say, we'll discuss, Kavod Tzibor can mean a number of different things. Kavod Tzibor can mean issues of tznius, or kavod tzibur could also mean that, again, by giving a woman an aliyah could be that perhaps that's a statement that the men of the tzibur are too ignorant to be able to recite the brachos on their own. We'll discuss exactly what that means in a latter sugya. We're actually going to tie this back, Emir Hashem, to Megillah as well. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, So the Gemara asks the kasha. Maftir, maushiyale leminyan shiva. What about maftir? Does maftir count? So we've now established that on Shabbos, we paskin that you read seven aliyos. So the question is maftir count as one of the aliyos? Does count as one of the seven? Rafun Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba. So Rafun Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba have a machlokis about this. Chad amar ola, one says it counts. Vechad amar eina ola, and one says it does not count. Man da amar ola, the one who says that it counts, the hakari. Because at the end of the day, you are reading a section of the Torah. So if you're reading a section of the Torah, why should it not count? Uman da amar eina, the one who says they know the maftir does not count as one of the seven. Ki du ula, da amar ula mipnei maha maftir benavitzar shikra b'torah. Because like ula says, why is it, Rabbo said, that the person who reads the Haftorah has to get an aliyah, has to read a section in the Torah, tchila first, mipnei kavat Torah. That's out of kavat Torah. I'll say, what does kavat Torah mean over here? Look at Rashi. Mipnei kavat Torah. Shelo yehi kavat Torah v'kavat navi shaveh. Because I will say, we don't want to equate literally the kavod of Torah with the kavod of Navi. They're not the same. They're all part of Tanakh, but Chumash obviously is much more important than Navi. Therefore, uvecheva nimishum kavod Torahu velo mishum chova lo miminyano. So also listen to this. So what would happen if you had people who got aliyos in the Torah and then one person was called up to read the Navi? It would appear that Navi is just as important as Torah. In order to create what we'll call a biblical hierarchy, so what happens, the individual who reads the Haftorah has to go ahead and first read a section in Torah. In the parasha, only then could the person read the Haftorah, and that by definition, what that demonstrates is the only way you could read the Haftorah is how? Is if you were first ole le-Torah. Therefore, that shows the supremacy of Torah over Nevi'im. So the Gemara says, V'cheva nemishum kava Torahu, l'minyan alo salak. So since, again, the person who gets the Haftorah, the only reason he's getting an aliyah is ultimately, again, just to create the biblical hierarchy, therefore he's not counted as part of the seven aliyos. Basically, Gemara raises the kasha. Hamaftir b'navi lo yifchos me'esrin ve'echar psukin, Kineged Shiva Shekaru B'Torah. I will say when you read the Nav, when you read Haftorah, Haftorah should not be less than 21 psukim. Why not less than 21 psukim? Because that corresponds to the seven aliyos in the Torah, right? Seven aliyos with a minimum again of three psukim of each aliyah. Therefore, Haftorah should be a minimum of 21 psukim. V'misa. And if you're going to say that Lamaisa, the Maftir should be counted as one of the Aliyos, then what? Esen Va'arba Havyon, then what? You should have to read a Haftorah, that's what Rabosai, is a minimum of 24 Psukim, corresponding again to eight Aliyos, to which the Gemara says, V'kevan Dimishum Kavatorahu Kenegdo. Genegdo nami loboy. To which the Gemara answers, no. Since the only reason we're reading these additional psukim of the Haftorah is why? For Kavod HaTorah. Therefore, again, you do not need corresponding psukim in the Haftorah itself. I'm sorry? Well, the Hamina just is, if he's corresponding to all of the readers, so why not go ahead and read according to the three of the Maftir as well? Kamashmala, know that since we've already established that Lamaisa, it's only for Kavanah Torah, you don't have to go ahead and reconnect it. Maskif la Rava. So now the Gemara is jumping a little bit. So now what you're telling me is, you've just told me that I have to read a minimum of 21 psukim, for the Haftorah. Someone says, is that true? Vahari olo seichem safu. But what about the Haftorah of olo seichem safu? So Haftorah of olo seichem safu is from Yirmiyo. So what about that Haftorah? Delo havyon esrin v'chad. It's not 21 psukim, and yet v'karinon. And yet, in fact, we do read it, to which the Gemara answers, shiny hasam de salak inyana. The difference over there is what? Is that lamaisa, again, it's a self-contained topic. So what we say is, it's a minimum of 21, that's part of a longer unit. But if you have a shorter unit, a self-contained topic, then in fact you can read a Haftorah that has less than 21 psukim. To which the Gemara says, V'hacha, V'hecha delo salik in yonalo. Is that true again? So now what you're telling me is, I could read a smaller Haftorah if it's a self-contained unit. But if it's a longer unit, I have to read at least 21 psukim. Is that true? So the Gemara says, V'hecha delo salik in yonalo. V'ha amar av shmo bar abba. Zimnin sagin hava ka'amina kamed Rabbi Yochanan. There are many times that I was in front of Rabbi Yochanan. V'chi hava karinan asara psukim. And after we would read 10 psukim in the Haftorah in the Navi, what would happen? Amar lan afsiku. He told us that what? Stop. He told us to stop. So Rabbo said, again, what do you see from here? That you don't need a minimum of 21 psukim, even when what? And again, apparently you could stop even after, so even with what? Even if Lamaisa, you still haven't finished your unit. So what's going on over here? Well, so the Gemara is a very interesting answer. Shiny detani Rav Tachlifa bar Shmu. I'm sorry. Makom Sheish Torgamon shiny. Where you have a translator, we'll say that is a different situation. So we'll say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Makum Sheish Trogaman Shiny, Sheyesh Torah Litzibur. Because then you get into Tircha the Tzibura. Then you get into an unnecessary elongation of the service. We'll say, why? We have a Torgaman by the Torah reading also. Remember, the Torah reading Kriyasator is different. Why? Because people are learning things by the Kriyasator. There's necessary halachas. By the Navi, again, it's important also, but Lamaisa, an individual is not necessarily learning pertinent halachos. Therefore, we want to be careful with how long we make the Haftorah. So apparently, again, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Lamaisa, where there's a Torgamon, that's different. The Tani Rav Tachlifa Bar Shmuel, Lo Shar El B'Makom Shein Torgamon. Where do we say that you have a 21 Pasuk minimum? Where do we say that? That's when what Rabbi say? They don't have a Torgamon. There's not someone else who's giving a running commentary on every single pasuk. So Rabbi say, if there's no Torgamon, so you have a choice. Again, if it's a self-contained unit, we've already established that what? That you can read Haftorah even shorter than 21. But if it's not a self-contained, let's say it's a longer unit, you can cap it at 21. You cap it at 21, but that's assuming that what? That there's no Torgamon. But if there is a Torgamon, if there is a translator, then what? Aval makom sheish Torgamon posek. If there's a translator, then what? You have the ability to cap the Haftorah even what? Even shorter than 21. And even if what? Even if it's not a self-contained unit. So the Maisa, again, we come out with three things. Number one, if you have a self-contained unit, you can read less than 21. But if it's not a self-contained unit, so it depends. If there's a Torgamon, you could cap it at a smaller amount. Again, whether it's objectively capping it at 10 or at some other small unit. But if there is no Torgamon, then again, you should at least read 21 Pesukim. Fine, says the Mishnah. Ein parsin ashma. Now the Mishnah is going to speak about a number of different things that you need a minyan for. So the first thing the Mishnah talks about is something called parson al shema. So this is actually very interesting. What does it mean to be parson al shema? Look at Rashi. Ein parson al shema. Minyan habala beis hakneses la'achar shekaro tzibu eshma. But you have an interesting situation. Let's say you have 10 people who davened individually. They all daven by yichidus. Obviously, if you daven by yichidus, you could discharge your obligation of prayer. But remember, again, you lose out on what? You lose out on barhu, and you lose out on kaddish. I mean, you also lose out on kedusha. So let's say you have 10 people who daven individually, but they want to be able to chabarain with a kaddish and a barhu. So there's this concept of what we call parson al shema. Parson al shema, parson literally means a partial. They do what's called the partial shema. So look at Rashi. So he says, "Minyan abal beis hakneses la'achar shekara tzibur shema." So a minyan of individuals who came to shul, they already daven individually, but they come to shul again after the tzibur already daven shema. Omeid echad va'omer kaddish ubarchu ubracha rishoner shebikresha. Well, so he says it's actually very interesting. So what do? They go ahead and they get to 10 people. They say shema. They say barchu. Is there a sitter? Is there a sitter somewhere? Sitter. So, hey, thank you. So what happens? So that's not our school. Let's do it this. Okay. Oh, by the way, it's actually... Yeah. No, it's fine now, but It's good. So like a page number is here. So, all right, so we'll say, listen to this. So this is actually very interesting. So they come to shul, they say Kaddish, they say Baruch Hu, and then interestingly enough, they say the first Baruch Hashem, but they don't say the first Baruch of Shema. Where they actually begin is, we'll see, they begin with the paragraph really as, Es Shem HaKel HaMelech HaGodol. They recite Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh together, and then they recite the first bracha of Kriyas Shema together. Now understand what that just gave them in these three little in these little things. They got a Kaddish, they got Baruch Hu. They both say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh of Baruch Hu counts as a what? As Kedusha. and they say the first bracha of Kriyashma, that counts as Birchos Kriyashma. So essentially, in this one little practice, I see a lot of glimmers in some eyes over here. Don't get any ideas, right? In this one little practice, what you've done is you've chapterai, meaning you have essentially been able to actualize all the basic pieces of tefillah b'tzibur just in this little piece. You've gotten your kaddish, your kedusha, your baruchu, and your birchas kriyashma. So you can't do this practice again. Can't do this practice without a minion. Next, ve'in orulif ne'ateva, you can't go ahead and send up a shliach tzibur. You can't have a chaz, you can't have a shliach tzibur, ultimately without a minion. Ve'in nosenes kapein, you can't duchin. Ve'in korim batorah, there's no kriyas Torah without a minion. Ve'in maftir menavi, no aftorah. Ve'in osen ma'amad u'mosha. Rabbi, we'll see what this means in the Gemara. You can't do ma'amad u'mosha. Actually, take a look at Rashi just a moment. Literally sitting down and standing up. What does this mean? Lemeis. Kishenosin es hameis lekovro, halyo yoshvin zayin pamim livkos es hameis. Listen to this. You understand one thing, that the way we do levayas today is very I once had someone actually from South Africa who was here in town. I was at a levaya. I was doing a levaya. He said, Rabbi, there was a very nice service, but it was very goyish. That's what he told me. I said, thank you. I don't know why. It's very good. Meaning the notion of like going to a funeral home and having eulogies in a funeral home. Please be seated. Please rise. Paul Bear, all this stuff. The truth is that we really did copy that. And it's very much North American. Meaning if you go to South Africa, if you go to Eretz Yisrael, they do not do levayas like that. So the way they used to do levayas was literally they would take the mace, wherever the mace was, they would take the mace, they take the aron, they would escort the mace to the cemetery, and they would stop 7 times along the road. And at that time, again, everyone, the avelim, would sit down, and they would deliver hespedim. And that happened again at 7 intervals along the road. So we'll say we replicate that process a little bit, in that when we take the aron from the hearse to the grave at the cemetery, again, there are different minhagim, but let's say by us, we make 7 stops. We make 7, not everyone has that particular, that is a minhag, but we make 7 stops to replicate this process. But again, in its original form, they literally stopped 7 times, and they call it ma'amad u'moshav, because literally the avelim would sit down, they would sit down on the ground, they would deliver hespedim, and then they'd get back up and move on. So, okay, fine. So let's go back during the Mishnah. Ve'in omrim birkas avelim, we do not say the bracha for avelim, and again, we'll discuss what that is in the Gemara. Ve'tanchumi avelim, nor do we go ahead and give comfort to the avelim without a minyan. So what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Tanchumi avelim, this is kishachorizim in akvaras. This is after the burial already. Omdim umenachemim esa avel. Ve'in shura pechusa me'asar. So this is talking about, again, this is talking about what we presently call today the Shura, where after the burial we form 2 lines, where ultimately again the Avelim walk through. This is only done with a minion. And that's again the first opportunity to give nechama, to give consolation to the mourners, only done with a minion. Birkas Chasanim, similarly again the blessing to the groom, which Rabbi say would appear to be at first glance Sheva Brachas, we'll discuss it. Ve'im Mezamnin B'Shem, nor can you go ahead, and if you have benching, you can't bench with the name of God, i.e. Elokeinu, without a minion. But in all these things, Rabbi say, Pachos Miasar, you can't do any of these things listed in the Mishnah without a minion of people. Ubikarkos, and Rabbi says actually a very interesting case as well. Rashi says, Karkos Shal Hekdish, Habolif Tosun Sorech Asara Ve'echnim Kon. Rabbi say, if you donated land to Hekdish, to the Beis HaMikdash, and you want to redeem it, there is a process for redemption of land, but that which is really a valuation, that process requires 10 people. One of them must be a Kohen, but none of them don't have to be a Kohen. And apparently, same thing in Baliftos, Rashis, in Baliftos Miat Hekdish, if you want to redeem a person from Hekdish, also you need 10 people. Now we'll discuss exactly what that case is of redeeming a person from Hekdish. Says the Gemara, how do we know that these things require a minyan? So the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, it's very important, limud. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says, Amr Rabbi Yochan, and Amr Kra, v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. The Pasuk says, I will be sanctified within the midst of the Jewish people. What do we learn from there? Kol davar shebikdusha, lo yehe pachos mi'asar. We'll say, very important, Yisod. any matter of holiness cannot be done without 10 men. Now, Rabbi say, how do we know that? My mashal, Rabbi say, so all the Gemara just quoted was, v'niktashti b'sof pnimis, I'll be sanctified within the midst of the Jewish people. How do we know that that means 10 men? My mashma, listen to this, Rabbi say, very important. Turn to Rabbi Chia says, Asya, Rabbi say, is a two-pronged limud. Asya, toch. First thing we do is we make a gzir shav of toch. Ksiv hacha, says over here, v'niktashti b'sof pnimis, Yisrael. It says over here, I will be sanctified within the midst of the Jewish people. Uksif Hasam, and it says over there, Rabbi said, by the miraglim, by the spies, Hibadlu mitocha eda. Go ahead and literally separate yourself from the eda. So the Gemara says, Va'asya eda. And they make a gzera shava of eda. So we'll say again, remember. So here's what we have. First thing is, we have toch. It says toch by nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, and it says toch by hibadlu mitocha eda rohazos. Va'asya eda, another gzer shavav eda. Ksiv hasam, it says over here, ad masai le'eda harohazos. It says over here, actually, I'm sorry, the first eda actually called is really by Korach. So it says over here, by the miraglim, ad masai le'eda harohazos. How long will I have to contend with this eda? Now here we know by the miraglim we know what Eda means. What does Eda mean by the miraglim? It means, remember, it's 12 miraglim in total, but Yoshua and Kalev are not part of the Lashon Hara, so therefore Eda means 10. So listen to how fascinating this is. So here's how do we know that a minyan requires 10 men? So the Gemara, or Davar Shevdush requires 10 men. V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. I will only be sanctified, God says, within b'nei Yisrael. How do we quantify within b'nei Yisrael? Oh, so it says toch b'nei Yisrael over here, and it says hibadlu mitoch ha'edara. It says over here, remove yourself from the eda, from the assembly. So what does eda mean? Just like eda by, so we have eda, where do we see the word eda? By the miraglim. Just like eda by the miraglim means 10, so too again, eda, hibadlu mitoch ha'eda means over there, and therefore again, toch tells us that in Vedic dashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael means 10 men. So we'll say it's a two-pronged limud that ultimately, and the amazing part, of course, is that we learn the concept that an Eda is 10 from not a good group of 10, which is very interesting. We learn it ultimately, again, from the miraglim, which is quite dramatic. But nevertheless, again, Lemaisa teaches us that Halacha Lemaisa, the definition of Nekdashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael, requires a group of 10 men. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, "Ve'ein osid ma'amad u'moshe pachos mi'asara." You cannot do the sitting up and standing down by the Avelim with less than 10. Kevan de Bailim, so we'll say, where do we know that? From there, obviously, we'll say that the concept of the ma'amad u'moshe, that is a rabbinic practice. Obviously, right? So Lemaisa, again, how do I know that I require a minion for that? So the Gemara says, listen to this. Kevan Dabai Lemaimar Amdu Karm Amdu, bless you. Since part of what we say with the Ma'amadu Moshev is we make the statement, stand up, precious ones, stand up. So Amdu Karim Amdu Shavu Yikarim Shavu, sit down, precious ones, sit. So we'll say, essentially, when you tell people to sit up and stand up and sit down, you're talking to a group. And again, apparently what the Gemara feels is you can't call a group of people precious ones without what? Without it being at least 10. In other words, that without 10, it's not considered to be a substantive group. And therefore, again, speaking in such formalities would not be appropriate. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, "Lav orachara la triach shliach lekach likrosin yikarim deimkein mahanachtel merubin." So we'll say, in other words, the formulation that the rabbis came up with ma'amadu moshav is a formulation that by definition is for a group. That's essentially what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that this stand up, precious ones, sit down, precious ones. The rabbis meant that verbiage to be used for a group. Therefore, if you don't have a group for a minyan, you could still do the ma'amadu moshav. But lamais again, you don't have the verbiage associated with it. Ve'ein omrim berchas avelim berchas chasanim. You don't say the bracha for avelim and the bracha for chasanim. My berchas avelim. Bracha Rechava. Rabbi will say, what does it mean, the Bracha for Avelim? This refers, Berchas Rechava refers to the Bracha recited in the street. Rabbi will say, so again, interestingly enough, if you look at Rashi says, actually, Okay, let me read the next line, and then we'll go back to Rashi. Rashi is the Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Birchas Aveilim Ba'asara. The bracha for the mourners must be done for by 10. Ve'ein Aveilim Bimina Minyan. But the mourners themselves do not count as part of the Minyan. Birchas Chasana Ba'asara. Sheva brachas has to be done by 10. Ve'chasana Minyan Minyan. But the Chasanim are part of the bracha. Rabbi said, now look at Rashi. Ve'ein Aveilim Mina Minyan. Shahari hu omer bracha l'menachamim bifnei atzman. Achinu. Bal hagimul yishalim lachem gimul chematov baruch ato Hashem yishalim hagimul. So we'll say, interestingly enough, they make a bracha for all of those who came to give consolation, and the bracha was he who goes ahead and repays should repay you in kind gimul chem, that which is coming to you, baruch ato Hashem yishalim hagimul. Ula avelim ifnei atzman achinu bal nechamos yinachim eschem baruch ato Hashem menachim avelim. So we'll say, here's something, where would they make this bracha? Interestingly enough, after the burial, there's something called the Sudas Avra, a meal of consolation. In Talmudic times, that meal was actually eaten in the street. It was eaten in public, was consumed in public. People would sit around the Avelim while they were eating that meal. And when the Avelim were eating that meal, they would give them what's called the Birchas Avelim. They would give them the bracha for mourners. And this was the bracha. It's so beautiful. They would say, again, the bracha was, Achenu, our brethren, speaking to the mourners. Baal Nechamos, literally he who is in charge of all consolation, Yinachim Eschem, should console you. Baruch Ato Hashem Menachim Avelim. God is the source of all blessing, the one who consoles mourners. Ve'enon kolin yachas. What the Gemara is teaching us is to be able to recite that bracha, you need what? You need a minion. And furthermore, the Avelim themselves are not part of that minion. But for Sheva Brachas, however, you also need a minion. But what? The Chosan is part of that minion. Ve'en mezamnin ala mazon b'shem pachos mi'asara. If you're leading benching, you can't use the Shem Hashem with less than a minion. Kevan debari lememar nevarich leilokenu, because since you're going to say, let us bless our God, b'tzir mi'asara lav orachara. So we'll say, that verbiage is of let us bless our God, speaking to a group by definition. This part only is used by definition when you have a larger group. If you don't, again, Rabbi say this. What the Gemara is essentially saying is this: how the rabbis instituted it. Remember, these are rabbinic enactments. So the rabbi said, if you're going to say let us bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that requires a larger group because again, it's a bakavadik thing. Therefore, less than a minion by definition, you're not going to do it. V'hakarkos tisha v'koin v'adam yotzei b'han. So let's listen to this. Last part of the Mishnah said that if you're going to redeem lands that were pledged to the Beis HaMikdash, so again, you have to do a valuation. The valuation requires a total of 10 people, but again, you can have 9 Yisraelim and 1 Kohen, and same thing by the redemption of people. So the Gemara said, we don't know this from Amr Shmuel, Asara Kohanim Ksuvim Parsha. We'll say, interestingly enough, in the Parsha of redemption of property from Hekdish, Rashi says, the parashas hekdeshos, shlosha be'erchon, shlosha be'mehema, v'arba b'karkos. Bosa, in the parashas of redeeming things from the Beis HaMikdash, the word Kohen is mentioned 10 times. Okay? Asar karim k'suvim b'parasha. Chad l'gufei, v'chad l'miutei. So we'll say, whenever you see such repetition in Torah, one is to teach you that what? That you have to have Kohanim. And one is to teach you that what? That lamaisa, you don't need all Kohanim. So remember, again, had it just said Kohen once, I might have thought, again, you need a minion of Kohanim. Therefore, one teaches you that you need a Kohen. But lamaisa, again, the rest teach you that what? The rest are a miut, teach that you don't need all Kohanim. The idach havi miut achamir. So also, listen to this. So this is actually a very interesting miut. So one Kohen teaches you that lamaisa, you have to have a Kohen. The second minion teaches you that what? That you don't need all Kohanim. The idach, and Rabbi said, but there are still 8 other Kohanim mentioned. The idach havi miut achamir. So we'll say there is an exegetical principle called a miut achamir, which is that when the Torah states multiple exclusionary phrases, that miut one exclusionary phrase after another exclusionary phrase, the miut achar miut el rabos. So we'll say this is just the way exegetical principles are set up. Multiple exclusionary phrases are there for what purpose? To actually go ahead and be marbe, to include something else. We'll say, that's just, remember, this is what we say that Rabbi Shmuel, this is the Yud Gimel Midos. These are just the exegetical principles handed down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. There are the tools for us to go ahead and darshan the Torah. So we have what's called a miut achar miut, an exclusionary phrase after an exclusionary phrase, eino elo l'rabos, actually comes to include something else. What does it come to include? So we'll say again, multiple repetitions of the word kohen, interestingly enough, one of them teaches that you have to have a kohen, and the multiple repetitions teach us that even l'rabos tisha yisraelim v'chad kohen. Teach us that what? That Rabbi said, at the end of the day, you only need one kohen, and you could have even nine Yisraelim. So the Gemara says, but one second, Rabbi says, shh, the ema chamisha kohanim v'chamisha Yisraelim. Why don't we say that you could even have five kohanim and five Yisraelim? Right? Again, why? How do you know that the miut achar miut teaches me nine in one? Maybe the miut achar miut says five kohanim, five Yisraelim, to which the Gemara says kasha. You know what? That is a good question. So the Gemara actually leaves that unresolved. V'adam kiyotzeva. I'm similar to both sides. Again, if you're going to redeem people, you need a minion. You need a minion of people, and one of them has to be a kohen. So the Gemara says, Adam, what are you talking about redeeming people? Adam mi kadosh, can a person be sanctified to the base of Mithras? I mean, the Rebbe says, again, Lemaisa, I could consecrate a piece of property, and that piece of property is owned by the base of Mithras, and therefore, if I want to redeem it, I need to redeem it from the temple. Can a person be pledged to the base of Mithras? To which the Gemara says, no, I'm Rabbi Avo, but Omer Deme Alai. What's the case over here? The case over here is where a person says, I pledge my value to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm pledging my value to the Beis HaMikdash. This sanya, ha'omer d'mei alai, because we'll say, what happens if a person says, I pledge my value to the Beis HaMikdash? So how do we determine a person's value? Shamin osel ke'eved. The truth is, we'll say, how do we determine a person's value? It's interesting, very simple. We determine what he's worth if he was sold on the slave market. If I wanted to sell myself as a farmhand, as a servant, right? I wanted to sell myself as a manual laborer. How much money would I? Which I would also say is very interesting, because what I could also say is you could have an individual who is what we call, you know, has a high net worth to society. Right? Let's say a person has a leadership position, or a person has an incredible skill, but the truth is, on the slave market, they may be virtually worthless, because again, you know, their hands are very soft, they're not really very good for too much manual labor. So just interesting. So nice, if a person pledges their value to the Beis HaMikdash, we look at ultimately again what they would fetch on the open market. The eved iskish lekarkos, and furthermore again, a servant is compared ultimately to land. Ulekarkos, and remember when it comes to redemption of land, what did we just say? Ulekarkos tichsiv. Excuse me, they compare it to land as it says tichsiv. V'esnachaltem osam livnechem acharechem lareshes achuza. That ultimately again you will go ahead and give them as a nachala to your sons afterwards lareshes achuza. Ultimately, again, as an inheritance. Look at Rashi. Eved iskish lekakos shene'emar v'isnachaltem osim nechem acharechem l'resh sachuzo li'olam b'am tavod. Rabbi will say, again, that the Torah says, this is by an Eved Kenani, that if a person has a non-Jewish servant, that non-Jewish servant becomes property that literally is passed down from a father to a son in the same way that what? In the same way that land is. So therefore, again, Eved is compared to land, just like land, as we've already established again, requires a minion of people for valuation purposes, for redemption purposes. So too over here, if I pledge my value to the Beis HaMikdash, and now we want to figure out how much that value is. Again, my value is going to be determined by how much I can fetch on the open slave market, servant market. Lemaisa, that valuation must also be done by 10 people as well. All right, the boss, they will stop over here.